Everyone, I know you don't like the sunshine, no rain, kind of nice, isn't it? Hope you all had a good week. I do have a couple announcements about people who had a rough time or is having a rough time this week. Ken DeVilvis really had a hard time this week, starting Wednesday night. He's been having problems, you know, but something went wrong with his hip replacement, and he had a lot of pain, excruciating pain, in fact. He's doing better now. I talked to Sandy last night, but he was in a lot of pain for a couple of days. So please keep them in your prayers. And poor Sandy is still having trouble breathing, so we just want you to keep them in prayers because we sure love them, and also we sure need them. And also I talked with Debbie and Dave McCollum, and Debbie's doing better. The pain's not as bad as it was, and she's doing real good in a rehab. So please keep them in mind in your prayers this week also. I'd like for you to turn with me to Numbers 31, if you would, please. This will be leading me up to my main point. This is a war against Midian. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shall thou be gathered unto thy people. So Moses spoke to them. And in verse 3, I'm just going to go down through this because we're going to hit the whole chapter. In verse 4, he took 1,000 men from each tribe to go to war. So they had a total of 12,000 men going to war against the Midianites. Down in verse 7, and they warred against the Midianites as the Lord commanded Moses, and they slew all the males. All. That's a big A-L-L. You destroy your enemies. You destroy your enemies. In verse 9, and the children of Israel took all the women of Midian and captives and their little ones and took the spoil of all their cattle and all their flocks and all their goods back to Moses. Now, Moses had something against him. Do you have any idea what it was? Do you have any idea what it was? In verse 14, and Moses was wroth with them, with the officers of the host, with the captains over thousands, and the captains over hundreds, which came from the battle. Now, not a man had been lost, but Moses was upset. Very upset. They killed every man. And Moses said unto them, have you saved all the women alive? Why is that so important? Why is that so important? Verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore kill every male among the little ones. Every male among the little ones. That's all boy children. Wow. How could God do that? Why would he command that? This world tells us God's a God of love. You know, he's just love. God's a God of taking care of the matter. And kill every woman that hath known man by lying with him. In other words, he wanted to get rid of what? All the things that were sin or that could come up against him when you get right down to it. The women had caused the men to commit adultery. Don't get me wrong, the men were at fault too, but the women had caused them to break God's law. What had the little children done? Not a thing. But God wanted them destroyed so they could never rise up against Israel again. You're supposed to destroy your enemies. That's what God shows here. If you have to fight, you fight. Later on, it shows down here where they divided the spoil. And we'll drop down here to, I think it's verse 25. Yeah, 27. And they divided the prey into two parts. Half of it went to the men who were doing the fighting, which was the 12,000 men. And half of it went to the tribes of Israel, divided it up. So those who fought were given more because they had war against the enemy and protected the Israelites. Now there's one other thing that is really wonderful about this whole thing. Let's drop down to verse 49. And they said unto Moses, thy servants have taken the sum of the men of war which are under our charge, and there lack not one man of us. That means out of 12,000 men, not one was killed in the war. Not one. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Only with God. Only with God leading before you. Okay? We therefore, they said, brought an obligation for the Lord that every man hath gotten of jewels of gold, chains and bracelets, rings, earrings, and tabbets to make an atonement for our souls before the Lord. Thanking God for protecting each and every one of them. And Moses and Eleazar, the priest, took the gold of them, even after wrought jewels. And the gold of the offering that they offered up to the Lord of the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds was 16,750 shekels. Now, anybody off their hand, tell me exactly how much money, how many pounds of gold that was? I didn't know either. I had to look it up. Over 400 pounds of gold these soldiers gave to God above already the offerings they had given to God. 400 pounds these 12,000 men gave. They were so thankful that God had what? Brought them all back safely. And they showed appreciation and love to God as God had loved them and protected them. Because they did what? As God said, they went to war. And it's a war that he commanded them to go to. We, you and I, must understand how important it is that each of us understand that we must do what God says. Because when we do, God will bless us tremendously in everyday life. And he wants you and I to be in his kingdom. That's exactly why we're here. That's exactly why he called us. Now, you wonder why we have troubles in the world? Look what we got going on around us. We go to war, and we build back up our enemy. The United States wonders why we have the problems we have. If we follow God's example, Germany would never have been rebuilt. They'd be 30, 40 years behind us still. Japan would be 30, 40 years behind us still. We have made our enemies stronger and stronger. And now they're going to overtake us because we have foolish leaders. And they're spending $18 trillion, which we don't even have anymore, so we're really in bankruptcy. What happens when you go into bankruptcy? Congress says, oh, we're too big. We can't fail. They need us. They have to have us. I think the man said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. So when you do that, guess who's going to fail? And we're getting close to it. One of these days, coming shortly, you and I are going to see what happens from a country who was blessed by God go down to being a third world nation. And sorry to say, we're going to see it. Most of us, if we live that long. The younger ones will. For sure. We have to look at God's Word, and God's Word tells us what's coming. He only puts up with disobedience for so long. He's very merciful. If you look back at Israelites and what they've done in the past, you know, they went captive. He brought them out of it. They were in captive for 40 years. He brought them out of it. And how long did it take for them to complain? Oh, I wish I was back in where? Oh, I wish we were back. You brought us out so we can die in the desert. How many miracles had they seen? How many miracles have you and I seen? Every one of us in here who has been called has seen one great miracle. You understand God's Word. I understand God's Word only because of God's mercy and only because of Jesus Christ, who gave His life for you and me. We should never, never take it for granted. And as you see, this is what happens to Israel time and time again. They came out of where? Where did they come out of? And what did they do? Started complaining from the very beginning. They had a cloud by day right in front of them, showing them, here's where you're going to go, here's where you stop. Fire by night so they could see. How could they forget this? How could they forget the Almighty God who delivered them? Well, see, they did. You know why? They started taking it for granted. We become complacent. They weren't thanking God and saying, oh, we're fine. Our God's in front of us. Our God's protecting us. No. Well, I don't have food. I don't have water. He's going to let me die out here. Are we the same way? Do we get complacent? Well, today I want to talk about the latest sin error a little bit. Because you see, I want us not to be trapped in the latest sin error and lose what God has given you and me, which is an opportunity to be in His kingdom and with Him for eternity. You and I must realize how important it is that you and I seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness. Because you see, if we don't do that first, we can become complacent and take it for granted. Well, I'll pray later on, or I'll study later on, or I'll do it tomorrow, or, you know. We have to love our God with all of our heart. And He'll only accept first place. There's only two masters. Matthew 6:24 talks about two masters. Well, we have had to make a choice, you and I. And we're all here, so I take it we all chose to serve God. And I know that when we did, we were so excited. I was. I thought it's the greatest thing that ever happened. It was so different from what I came out of. I had this understanding that didn't come through before. Because guess what? God hadn't opened my mind at that time. And guess what? I wanted it really bad. I wanted to be a part of it. And you did too. In 1995, did you see a what you might say a revitalization, anyhow, that you wanted to be in God's kingdom and you wanted to be as God's people, and you were going to do it, and you knew you had to leave the association you were with? Who gave you that understanding? Who loved you enough to let you realize you're being led down the Mary Lane out of God's family? God did. And you were what? On fire again. I remember people talking and you just couldn't quit talking. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, that's the way you were when you came into church. You couldn't wait to talk to them. Oh, you're here. I'm glad you're here. Oh, yeah. It's good to see you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Aren't you glad God did that? We all did it. We were excited. And because of a trial, we said, no, I'm going to serve God Almighty, my Father. He's the one who opened my mind to what I understand. And I'm not going back into the world what I came out of. And aren't we glad? Aren't we so glad? You know, we're here now on God's holy Sabbath day. This is His day. This is His day, and we're here because He told us and made us understand this is His day, and He has called us to be with Him. And with Him, we're to be together because we are the family that He has called. Each and every one of us. We're brothers and sisters. And if we continue to obey and serve God, we will be for eternity. And none of us understand what that word means, how long it is, because our minds cannot comprehend eternity. But guess what? It's going to be great. Because there's going to be no sin. It'll be the first time in our lives we can say that we don't sin. Think about it. When you're in God's kingdom, it's the first time you say, I don't sin. And it'll be true. Because up till then, we can sin. But once we make it into God's kingdom, there's no more sin. We will have no more sin in our lives. We'll be spirit beings. We'll be with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, who gave His life for you and me. And we'll be doing whatever He wants us to do. And not only that, we're going to be kings and priests. And that's pretty hard for us to comprehend sometimes. But we need to comprehend this. Because you see, things that are coming, we had better be close to God and realize what our calling is. Because the world is falling apart in a hurry. And it's going to get worse. One of these days soon, bankruptcy will hit the United States. And sooner than you may think. You can only use credit cards so long. And I've seen a lot of people go bankrupt. And it's not a very pleasant sight. You have no money. Your money is not worth anything. And you can get no money. Because no one will lend to you. Because what? You're a credit risk, man. I don't want you. You don't pay your bills. I've never been in bankruptcy, but I've been where I got in trouble with credit cards. Maybe a few of you have too. It only takes once. Yeah, maybe you get close. I got close twice, I guess. But I want to tell you one thing. I never want to do it again. Because you see, when you're the debtor, they own you. Then you become their slave because they can tell you what to do. We're not to be slaves to anybody. Our slave, if we're going to be a slave to anybody, it's got to be God the Father. We're servants of God the Father. And that's exactly where God wants us to be. Loving and serving Him. Sometimes we read the Old Testament and we see what these Israelites did. But if you take them back up in the New Testament to our lives, guess what? We have the Holy Word before us. They only had to hear it. Nobody had the Word like we do. All we have to do is read it. Study it. Love it. And God will open our hearts and minds. And we will be strong. We will be strong in closeness to God. We will have total faith, total trust, and total love. And when God says it, we say, yes, sir. That's why God says we have to become as little children. Think about that. When you tell a little toddler, 3 or 4 years old, I want you to do this because because daddy says so, and he says, okay, dad, or okay, mom. They don't say, well, I don't know. What do you mean? I think maybe, you know, don't you think it maybe? They don't usually do that. They totally trust them because they know you love them. What? Just like God loves you and I. Unconditionally. With all his heart. All we have to do is realize how we react to our children, to grandchildren, to little children. They look so innocent. They are. They are innocent. And they love you with open arms at all times. And that's where our God is to you and me. That's why he gave his son. So you and I could have an opportunity to be in his kingdom. We need to be sure that we appreciate what our God has given you and me. And when we had to choose the two masters, we chose God. Are we still choosing God? Not saying we would do it on purpose. You got to understand, we're fighting who? Satan, the devil. We are fighting the biggest con man there ever was in the world. The biggest liar. And the one who hates anyone who loves and wants to serve God and do God's will. That is our enemy. And guess who he has in his pocket? Out there around you, folks. Anyone that God hasn't called and opened their mind, I guarantee you, they're going to be our enemy. Because he said, if Christ said, if they hated me, they'll hate you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Because it's coming. Political correctness and everything else is going to kill this country. Because political correctness is nothing but the other group wanting to tell you what to do, and you must do it the way they want and how they want. Only one person, one being, I should say, has the right to tell us to do anything. And we have to make the choice whether to obey and be with him or to rebel. And I guarantee you, he didn't want any of us to rebel. He didn't give his son for all of us to rebel. He gave his son so we can be with him in that divine and wonderful holy city of Jerusalem that he's bringing back. That you and I are guaranteed a part of. You right? We are guaranteed a part of being in that wonderful city if we finish the race. But we have to finish the race. And we know we can. We can finish the race. And we need to make sure we plan on that. And the way to do that is to seek God first and his kingdom. And then all that we're talking about will be added to us for eternity. We can have a good life now and a good life then. A life that we can't even imagine. That's what God has out there before us. As Mr. Armstrong said, and we finish the book, and guess what? If we run the race and finish it, we win. We win. We're not going to have frowns and crying and all that. We're going to have smiles on our face. We're going to be joyous. And then we're going to be working with who? The Creator of us all. And His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, what better bosses can you have? You know? Where they're loving bosses. They care about you. They want you to do well. And they love you with all their heart. And we're going to become just like him so that we can help others to understand what God has given you and me to understand today. We are so blessed. Let's turn to Revelation 3, 14, if you would, please. Let's talk about the Laodiceans a little bit. We know there are seven churches. Years ago, we thought there were seven eras. There may be. If so, we're in the last era, which would be the Laodicean era. Because you see, everything is happening. It's very prudent that now gays are very well accepted. Transgenders are accepted. I can't believe how quick transgender became so famous. The guy who was on the Wheaties box when I was younger and I admired now wants to be a woman. Or is a woman, or whatever he is, or whatever it is. You know. But that happened just like that. I mean, he's a celebrity. He, she, whatever. Celebrity. It took the gay community years to get prominence where people had to accept him. And they, the minority, have made us say, yes, we are accepting them. Because if we don't, you're prejudiced, you're this, or you're that, so you're the bad guy. So good is bad, and bad is good, according to God's way of life. Now, isn't that a sad state that we see the United States in? None of us ever thought we'd see this. But it's what it is. And it's ran by Satan. It's his world, his governments. It's all about money. You know? So you can see how quick we can get downhill. Because, I mean, it took years for the gays to be able to come out. As my friend's name was Rich Gay, and couldn't use his name in the phone book for years, he said, when I was a kid, gay was a good thing. He said, now, I didn't want anybody to do it. Say it. Because, see, they're lying. That's a total lie. They're not gay. In any way or sense. They can't be happy. Think about it. Because they're not obeying God. Happiness comes from obeying God. But being the ordinary guy I was back in the 70s, I'll tell myself, he'd be going down the street and say, hey, gay! Everybody'd turn and be looking. He wouldn't turn. He used to get so mad at me. As you see. Had a little growing up to do. Still do. But anyhow. He's still my friend. We don't believe the same and we talk about it. And we suffer through the 95 deal and all this and that. But, you know. But you see how things have changed. Can you imagine that the White House put a rainbow colors up as soon as that thing was done? God put a rainbow up for what, folks? What did he do? It was to say that he would never destroy it with water again. It was a reassurance to you and me that every time we see a rainbow, we could remember what God promised after Noah's time. And they took it and made it what? What a shame. Mocking the living God when you get right down to it. Nobody mocks God. We will pay for what we're doing. God is a loving God. God is a merciful God. But God will not take rebellion. We will pay the penalty. Just as the Israelites took it out on Mennonites because God said to for what they had done. And that's what's going to happen to the whole world when Christ returns. They're going to see Christ come down, not just loving, kind, and merciful, and forgiving. He's come down with an iron fist. And you know why? That's the only thing they understand. He has to get their attention. So what do? You get rid of them and give them another chance. When you bring them up, and hopefully we who God has called will be there to help guide and direct them, and then they have the opportunity to make the same choice that you and I have made. But we have been blessed being able to give the choice now and the opportunity of being a first fruit. We're the pioneers for God. We're the army. As it talks, onward Christian soldiers. That's what we are. We're God's soldiers in this day and age. That is our calling. We are called to be what? Lights to the world. To be lights to the world, we have to be doing God's way. And guess what? They don't like the light sometimes because it's too bright for them. Because you see, it shows them how dark they are and how wrong they are. Many years ago, when many of us came into church, I was thinking about this sermon. I was thinking, what was different back in 60s, 50s, and 70s even, than what it is today? One of the things was we didn't have as many distractions. But one thing that really sticks out to me is everybody was willing to leave anything and everybody to come to God's church and be with God's people. We were eager. We were desiring. We were wanting to hear the words of wisdom and knowledge so that we could grow in God's grace and understanding that we could live it. Of course, we didn't realize how much changing we were going to do because we were babes. You know, we thought, okay, I quit eating pork and I go to church on the Sabbath and I keep the holy days and hot dog, I'm here. Well, that was my problem. Great journey. It's even going to get greater. It may get tougher for a while. But if we have our trust and faith in God, we will all make it. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. He will protect us. He will guide and direct us. He will feed us as He showed He would do with the Israelites. If we need food, He'll give us food. He will provide. It may not be the steak we want, and it may not be, you know, 3 pound of whatever it is. It may be 4 ounces of beans or 4 ounces of rice 3 times a day. I don't know. I have no idea. You may not be living a life of luxury like you are now. We've been blessed. I show that. Sorry to say. Now, you're not laughing because you think I'm overweight, right? Surely not. But we have been blessed. We have been so blessed to live in the United States. God has blessed this nation so much. You and I have come through the best years of the United States. From the time I was a kid, it got better. I was born in the 40s, and it just got better, better, and better. We went from eating beans to where we could eat. I shouldn't say that. where I could go out and have shrimp at that time, which I thought was good at one time. Okay? That's how my parents knew that something was wrong with me. I came home and we used to go out every weekend. When I come home, I'd take them out and we'd have 21 shrimp in a basket. I come home 1 week and said, I don't think I want it. I think I'll have a such and such this week. I said, what? Okay, they let it go through. You know, moms and dad know you. Come on, you ain't fooling them, whatever you do. When you change from what your normal activity is, they know you. And God knows each of us. So don't kid yourself. He knows when we're getting off track and when we're not on track. So I go home the second weekend. I go home, we go out, and I say, I don't think I'll have shrimp. They said, okay, what's going on? You never miss 2 weeks without eating shrimp. So then they wish they hadn't asked. Because at that time, guess what? I just told them it all. I went from knowing not to eat the pork to Sabbath to, you know, the holy days, and they're going, ah, oh, die. My dad and them, they had this room built on, they had like a double wide trailer, they had this big living room, and they started hearing them talking to them, they move hearing them talk to them, they move hearing them talk to them, then they start back the other way. Because I talked for about an hour and a half, and they couldn't shut me up. They didn't want to hear it. I want to tell you, they did not want to hear it. I kept saying, why are you moving? Oh, good memories. Anyhow. But I was boldly telling them what I believed. And I wasn't ashamed of it. But see, that's something that a lot of people don't have to do today because it's not the same. But that's something I'm glad I went through, to be honest with you. Oh, don't get me wrong. I made a lot of mistakes. Well, you wouldn't believe that, but I know. I made a lot of mistakes. Didn't handle things properly all the time. But God was merciful. As long as our heart is right, our heart is wanting to serve God and do His will, we will come through anything. It may not be the easiest because we interfere sometimes and get in the way. It's what happens because we think we know what we should do. But if we just listen and let God do it and are patient and look to God, it will all come about. And you wonder, wow, how'd that happen? I'm sure many of you have had that. I've been up to being fired in a job before and all of a sudden it was just gone. You know, I'm like, you know, what happened? You know, because some guy didn't like me because I kept the Sabbath. You know. Or because, you know, I was weird. I wouldn't eat pork. I wouldn't go out and drink with them or whatever. We all have our trials. We all have our tests. That's why we have to seek God first in His kingdom. Because if we keep that in the forefront at all times, we know where we're headed. We're headed to God's kingdom. And that's exactly where we want to be. We want to be with God for eternity. Ephesians 6:11, I won't go there for time. I have more than I should be speaking on. I don't want to go over. Somebody left me a note not too long ago, told me, basically, don't talk too long. I found it on my seat. Who's the culprit? No. But Ephesians 6:11 is talking about the whole armor of God. We need to keep our armor totally, totally polished and totally fit with no holes in it so that we're protected with God's Holy Spirit. If we leave no holes, we got God's Holy Spirit totally around us. When we leave a hole in our armor, we've left a crack. And I guarantee you, Satan, the roaring lion, will exploit that crack. And I know that maybe not all of you, but many of you, I know I have, you've overcome something just, I don't know, how would you say it, just forcefully say, I will never do that again. That's your first mistake. Never is a terrible word. You hope you'll never do it again. Because you see, Satan knows you had that weak point at one time. So every once in a while, maybe every year, maybe 2 years or 3 years, all of a sudden you get a little prick in that point that you had a problem with at one time. And the first time or two, you go, get out of here, boy. I'm not going to do that. 10 or 15 years down the line, you say, that's not too bad. You know, like, I'll take care of it. But you didn't. You sort of brushed it to the side, but it wasn't completely out. So guess what? It comes back sooner next time. Because Satan is very deceiving. He said, well, if he wasn't quite as firm, let's try it again. He may let me in this time. And it may take a year or two, but guess what? You may slip again. You may start, say, lying, cheating, whatever it can be. See, because we didn't take care of it and kick it out with strength and God's Spirit that's in you, we let it creep back. That's why we got to keep our armor always up to guide and direct us. And when we get that little twinge sometimes that the Holy Spirit gives you, it seems like, say, uh-oh, that's something I need to do now. Not put it off. I need to take care of it now, whatever it is. You see, none of us want to return to what we were. But I want you to look around how many people we knew who have. We have friends that we love, brothers and sisters we loved it, that slid back into the world. And it didn't happen overnight. You know, there's a pattern when somebody's leaving. So if you don't know the pattern, I'm going to tell you. If you see somebody getting ready to leave God's church, I'm doing what I've seen over the years, so it may not be 100%, but it's pretty good. You'll start seeing people come a little later to church. And 6 months later, they'll come a little bit later to church. And all of a sudden, they start leaving a little bit sooner. And before long, they're coming, they make it in just before church. Probably 3 minutes, 5 minutes. And they'll be leaving 5 minutes after church. Now, this may take a period of 2 to 5 years. But I guarantee you, they're leaving unless we are alert. And we start seeing it, and we start talking to them, showing them love and concern, showing them that we care, and that we're able to be talked to, and that we're praying for them. Because, you see, they need our help. That's why God has us as brothers and sisters. And if we don't do our part, we can be to blame too. So that's why we're brothers and sisters. You don't see brothers and sisters not caring about what the other one's doing. If you have a brother or sister and see them doing drugs, do you care? If you've seen them do something bad or kill somebody, do you care? Absolutely you do. You try to help them. You try to get them straightened out. You don't go up and accuse them, oh, I see you're doing this. No, that's not love. Love is going up being a friend. Showing concern and compassion. But yet showing strength and the love for God. So that you can guide them back to realize, oh yeah, yeah I have, you know. We got to learn how to show love to each other. Because you see, we're here to be in God's kingdom. God has called us to be in His kingdom. We don't want to go back to the dog's vomit. And we don't want to see anyone else in our family go to the dog's vomit. That's back in 2 Peter 2, 20 and 22. 20 to 22. I won't read it. So you and I have to make sure that we keep God's kingdom first. First. Second thing we have to do is we have to make sure that we understand that God's scripture is given by the living God. Third thing is we need to take 2 Timothy 2:15 and study to show yourself approved. If we're not studying, God's word is not in us. That's one of those things where you put back off a little bit because you're well, I got up and I prayed this morning, but I need to get this done, so I'm going to go do this. And so you miss one and say, well, that's not too bad. I do it, you know, 5 out of 6 days or 6 out of 7 days, and all of a sudden it's 2 out of 7 days and 1 out of 7 days. And that's how people leave. They leave because they don't keep it first. We have to study. We have to pray every day. Now, I understand that you can't pray for half an hour every day and study for an hour a day. I understand that. But if we don't put forth the effort, then we're not trying. We're letting ourselves open to where our armor can get a lot of holes in it. Oh, I'm in trouble. clock's going too fast. Can you turn it back just a little bit? People are looking. No. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 5:1, if you would. Christ's first sermon. You can pray. I can talk a little faster. I was going to go over some points in this, but as you see, I don't have time. So we'll get down through it, though. Do you want to be blessed? Christ starts out the very beginning of his ministry. What does he tell you have to do to be blessed? Blessed are the poor in the spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Read it, study it. See what it means. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who's going to own the earth? God the Father. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? They shall be filled. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when ye men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye, you and me, are to be the salt of the earth. We don't want to lose our flavor. We want to continue to be the salt of the earth into this world. Because that goes right along with verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. That's the very first words Jesus Christ spoke when he started preaching, after he had been tempted by the devil, the evil one. We must know our enemy. Christ fasted 30 days before he faced Satan, and Christ was God's son. Now, you don't think he respected? The way I'm saying respected is not in a matter that he looks up to him, but respected the power that he had. And he knew he was human. And he needed all of God's strength he could to face him. And he knew that. Otherwise, he wouldn't have fasted 30 days. How often do we fast? Once a year? Oh, Toman. I hope not. I hope we all set aside time to fast. Not every week, maybe. Be nice if we could. Be nice if you would. Maybe you do. I don't know. I can't claim that. You know. But we should be fasting at least 3 or 4 times a year. Maybe we need to fast more for those who are sick. We seem to have a lot of sick people right now. You know. Not too long ago, Mr. Grady had us ask us if we wanted to fast together at one time, you know. But we do need to keep the sick in mind, because if you've been sick for a long time, it's tough. Calls and cards, I really appreciate them. Ken and Sandy sure appreciate the cards, phone calls. Dave and Debbie sure appreciate cards and phone calls. Those who are laid up, can't get here, sure appreciate knowing that you still care for them and that I care for them. I think it's a great thing we have out here with cards each week. I think Marianne's in charge of it. You do a nice job. Thank you. I thank all those who do all the things that serve the people. They serve us. We didn't need to take it for granted. We need to give thanks that we have people willing to serve. We have food every week. People bring food. We have people serving it. We have people out there. We have ushers. We have those who tear down. We have those who do Bible lessons. We have those who play the piano. We have those who, well, yeah, good job. You do a great job. I just thought to tease them a little bit. Packer boys do a great job. They're very musically talented. You know, that's something I don't have, along with a lot of other things. But anyhow, we need to be appreciative of what we have and what we get. Mike and them over on sound, Luke over here on sound, you know. If it wasn't, maybe you might like it, might be able to hear me. But anyhow, you wouldn't be able to hear us easily. How's that? You know. And those who visit, you need to visit the sick. They're your brothers and sisters. They need to know we care. Mr. Neese's wife hasn't came here for a few years now. She can't. You know. Eileen Murphy, she's up in a nursing home. We got a lot of people who are ill and can't get out. And that's just a few. But we need to make sure we care about our brothers and sisters. That's part of our job. That's keeping God's kingdom. Keeping God's kingdom first in our minds, because we care about what? Our brothers and sisters, because they're God's children just like you and I are. And we're sure blessed to have each other. Not many people have a family of 100 people or 80 people. But we need to make sure we don't forget to show the love and tenderness and love that we should for one another, and encourage one another, and help one another if we know about it in any way. We are to be the doers. So, I got one other thing I do want to read before. Well, a couple things. There we go. I try to get with one. Okay, it's been almost an hour. I'm sorry. But I got this off Facebook, and I think you put it on Facebook. Think about this. It's Renee, my brother-in-law's sister. I feel sorry for you. I'm sorry, Charlie. I love you. Says the devil wants you to worry about your future so you cannot enjoy your life right now. He is a liar. Enjoy every minute of your life, because it is a gift from God. And the biggest gift you and I have is that God has called you and me. So enjoy it. Enjoy each other. Love each other as we love our Father. Just happened to get a e-news the other day from worked right in with me. You probably read it, right, Ron? Oh, you haven't read it? Oh, okay. I got an E-News, I think it was yesterday, the day before. Anyhow, I'm going to read it to you. So it'll take about 5 to 8 minutes, probably, if I can read fast. This is from Mr. Holliday, who's over the ministry. It says, "Dear fellow servants of God, we are all shocked to hear the assassination of public officials. I remember vividly when I was standing where I heard that John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Anybody remember where he's at when he did that? I do. I was in typing. And I was mad because I had a ball game that night, and we canceled it. It's our first basketball game. Shows how much sense I had, right? Anyhow. And all the others who have been shot and wounded in office. I'll skip by part of it. And of course, we're sorry when we hear about the terrorists. And that's part of the first two paragraphs, but I want to get down to the third paragraph. Do you realize we have an enemy who is also out to kill us? Do you know who he is? His weak points and his strong points? The enemy is Satan, the devil. He uses every means of his disposal to influence mankind in his way and to his philosophy. Look the world around us and see if it isn't the devil's way. He has a certain way of operating. Any general ties to learn the weakness and strengths of his enemies, are you able to spot Satan working against you? Your family or the church, he is using the cultural tools of the modern era to influence society to his way of life and thinking. In 1 Corinthians 1, 26-28, I won't read it, but put it down in your notes. He goes on to basically say what is. We discover that God has basically called the weak of the world. Whoa, I fit for that. We all do. Our enemy, the devil, will attack us when we are the weakest. We all have weaknesses that we strive to overcome. Be aware that this is one of the major areas that our enemy will endeavor to exploit. The devil is compared to a devouring lion in 1 Peter 5:8. Notice what God's word translation states. Keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour. A lion will generally go out after the weak, the crippled, or the loners. A president who mingles in a large crowd and gets away from the Secret Service becomes an easier target. If we get away from God and prayer and Bible study, we make ourselves an easy target. Our strength comes from the power of God and our reliance on Him to lead and guide us. There are two admonitions to a Christian on how to avoid being devoured by our enemy, the devil. We are told to be sober and to have self-control. What chance would a drunk person have against a lion? God gives us sound mind and self-control. We are also admonished to be vigilant, to be awake and watchful. We need to know when the enemy is around, just as the FBI and other agencies are aware of how ISIS is influencing people in their philosophy, so must we be aware of Satan's approach to each of us. I put "to each of us" in there. In verse 9, Peter admonishes us to resist our enemy. Resist means to be withstand or to be firm against. We need to oppose and stand against Satan's way of life. His way appeals to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We resist by being steadfast, strong, and immovable in the faith. We need to saturate our minds with God's words of life. As Christ stated, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." The more our thoughts are flooded with God's mind, the more we will be able to resist and overcome. We're warned by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:11, not to let Satan take advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. You don't give your enemy the advantage. A boxer would never get into the ring with his opponent with one hand tied behind him. Satan has the advantage when we are not close to God. Our advantage comes from drawing nigh to God, as James 4:8 states, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you are going to be in the spiritual fight, you want the greatest power in the universe on your side, close to you. We are not ignorant of the thoughts of reasoning against us. This is what the word devices means. We are not ignorant of how he works. He wants to destroy us individually and divide the church. He hates unity within the body of Christ. Don't give him space to operate in your life or local congregation. Stay close to the Almighty God, and he will stay close to you. Remember, the power is on your side. That's the power we have. All we have to do is keep access to the power. And the power will guide, direct, and protect us. And he will lead us to the holy city of Jerusalem, where you and I will be kings and priests. That is why we began this journey. We became as children. We're now walking to become adults. So let's be sure that each of us show love towards one another. And most of all, we'll do this if we seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness, because that's the way we become more like God every day.